Well, the series that we're in is a series in Mark's Gospel, looking at this question of who is this Jesus? Who is this extraordinary man who the crowds are flocking to? And we've been looking over recent weeks just at this extraordinary things that Jesus seems to be doing. He's teaching and answering people's questions about life. I don't know if you've got questions about life. We're starting an Alpha course tomorrow night. I know many have already signed up to do that. But if you've got questions that you've got burning like within you, you really want answers to, Alpha is a fantastic place to ask your questions. So tomorrow evening, if you want to come along 7:45 here in the church, have a meal, and get a chance to someone give a short talk, and there'll be a chance to discuss. And you can come to that. You can bring a friend to that as well. People were coming and flocking around Jesus because of the things he was talking about and teaching. But they were also flocking to him, and maybe particularly flocking to him because of the things that he was doing. I mean, Jesus was meeting people's needs in extraordinary ways. We saw 2 weeks ago how there was this paralyzed man. And Jesus was there, and he was known as this healer. And so these friends of this paralyzed man, do you remember it? They dug through the roof of a house just so they could get their friend to Jesus. And something extraordinary happens. The paralyzed man is healed. He's healed. We saw Jesus, this healing king. And tonight we get another glimpse of who this Jesus is, another extraordinary event in the life of Jesus. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. And if you haven't got a Bible, come and grab one from the front. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. A very extraordinary event that takes place. So it's on page 1006. Everyone there? Probably be on your phone if you haven't got a Bible. So, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says this. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. You get all this sort of eyewitness detail in this account because Mark was one of the eyewitnesses to this event. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern. If you're not a boating person, that's the back. Jesus was in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. Terrified. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus is and was clearly a great person to be around. You can see why crowds flocked to him, can't you? You know, imagine you went to a hospital with Jesus. I mean, it would be quite extraordinary, wouldn't it? Anyone been to hospital recently? I mean, going to the hospital with Jesus would be amazing because it'd be chaos in the best way because everyone seems to get healed around Jesus, don't they? I mean, that would be one way of solving the waiting times, wouldn't it? The waiting list, although I guess there'd be a quiet wait. Jesus' physical presence was here. Yeah, people flocked to him. And the disciples, they must have thought, this is amazing. Yeah? Imagine, try and put yourself in the shoes right now of one of those disciples. Okay, you're following Jesus around. He's doing all these extraordinary things. He's feeding thousands of people. Kind of all your needs are being met. You might start to think, oh, do you know what? This following Jesus thing, it's pretty good, isn't it? You might even start to think, it's easy. Oh, look, it's great, isn't it? You know, everything's just happening just as we want. Is this what it means to follow Jesus? And they're in for a bit of a shock. Verse 35, Jesus says, let's go over to the other side of the lake. He often does this. He seeks to get away with his disciples. He's got the crowd, and then he says, actually, I want to get away with you. Because he wants to teach them something that's very important about what it means to follow him. And he says, let's get away by boat across the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is a huge bit of water. It's about 9 miles across, almost twice that in length. And it's known for its furious storms. But there's just an important point here. Just want you to notice. Who suggests going on this trip? It's Jesus, yeah? Jesus says, let's go, okay? And the disciples, they're obediently doing what Jesus says, okay? So they're not out of line in any way. They're like, Jesus says, we're going to do this. They're like, amen, Jesus, we're with you because you're kind of doing all the great stuff, so we're going to keep following you. And they go, yeah, great idea. We'll follow you, Jesus. They love Jesus. They want to do what he says. You know, one of the best things you can do in your life is to listen to Jesus and do what he says. Do you take time to listen? He says, it's great to talk to Jesus. Great to speak to him. But do you take time to listen? Say, you know, read his word. Say, God, what are you saying to me at the moment? And then do what he says. Most important lesson you can learn in life, to do what Jesus says, but be aware. Be aware, things may not go quite as you expect. They do what Jesus says. And it all seems to go wrong, doesn't it? Do exactly what Jesus says, and it all seems to go wrong. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. And then verse 37, a furious squall came up. You know, such an important lesson here, and this is kind of the nub of my talk, and interestingly, it's kind of the nub of David's talk this morning, and we hadn't met during the week, and it was quite funny to hear it this morning, but, you know, following Jesus is wonderful. It's amazing. Maybe you've seen God do some amazing things. I know the other week at Encounter, a couple of people were healed by God. How wonderful. It's brilliant. God answers prayers. Maybe you've seen God answer your prayers and you think, that is wonderful. Following Jesus is wonderful. But it is also much harder than we imagine. And this is what the disciples are going to learn here. Following Jesus does not stop the storms coming. In fact, sometimes the opposite. Sometimes the storms come because we follow Jesus. And maybe you're here and you're thinking, I'm wondering about following Jesus. Or I've just started following Jesus. Or you've been following Jesus and you've been going through some storms. And you're like, God, what's the deal with the storms? Why the storms, Jesus? And that's what we're going to sort of look at a bit tonight. What is God doing in the storms? And we're going to see that following Jesus is much harder than we realize, but it is more wonderful than we dreamed. Firstly, it's harder than we imagine. And I guess my main point here is trust the presence of Jesus. You see, this storm is not a small thing. It's described as a furious squall. Anyone been in a big storm on a boat? Anyone been? It's not very nice, is it? It's really not very nice. It kind of gets worse the smaller the boat you're in. Okay? The smaller the boat, then it's just a nightmare. It's really difficult. Interestingly, though this sea is known for its storms, though the disciples, at least four of them were experienced fishermen, this seems to be different. This seems to be on a whole other scale. It's described as furious. We're going to try and do a furious noise, okay? Okay. So one, two, three, I want you to give me a furious noise, okay? Especially Nat and Simon in the corner, okay? Furious noise for me, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Yeah, that's not that furious. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, Nat and Simon. Give us a furious noise. Come on. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah, that's better. Okay, that doesn't come anywhere close. Do you know what a squall is? A squall is very different to a storm. It's like an extreme storm. You know, in a squall, winds can get up to like 50, 60 miles an hour from nowhere, from nothing. And you often get thunder, lightning. It's terrifying, more terrifying than that noise. And they leave you helpless. Can destroy boats. Some of you may be aware, some of you may even be able to remember the disaster of the Fastnet race. 1979, the year I was born. So I don't remember it, but I know of it. And here's a couple of pictures, just up here, of this race. They knew there was going to be a storm, but the storm was much, much bigger than they realized. This race goes from sort of southern England out to Southern Ireland and back again. This furious storm hit. There's about 300 boats taking part. 5 boats were sunk. 18 people lost their lives. It was disaster. Absolute disaster. It was bigger than anyone imagined. I remember one time being hit by a squall when I was windsurfing. Here's a picture of me windsurfing earlier this year. And I love windsurfing. In fact, I seek out the storms. I go for the storms. You know, if it's a stormy day, I'm like, I've got to get to the beach. I've got to get out there. But one time, a squall hit. I was about half a mile out to sea, and it was like I'd been hit by a truck. It was just obliterated. And all I could do was just hang on to my kit. There was nothing else I could do, just hanging on, waiting for it to stop. It was very scary. Thankfully, I had a wetsuit on, helmet, and thankfully, windsurf boards don't sink like boats do. But you see, the disciples are in a boat, and it says, look, it says it's nearly overrun. Look, it says this. It's nearly swamped. Once a boat is swamped, that's it. And they're not half a mile from land. They're miles from land. This is like game over. I mean, it's like we follow Jesus. We've done what Jesus says. About to lose their lives. What is going on here? Serious situation. Why has Jesus led them into such danger? Maybe you know what it is for life to be going well, and then you're hit by a storm. A storm in life, maybe a financial storm, maybe a relationship storm, maybe parents splitting up storm. Maybe you're hit by a storm. All sorts of storms that can hit us. And you're left just kind of hanging on, thinking, what's going on, God? What do we do? And I guess that's precisely what the disciples are asking and questioning, aren't they? Look, they say, they want to know what's going on. They say, verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Extraordinary thing, isn't it? You know, Jesus asleep. I don't know how he slept through it. And they say this, teacher, don't you care if we drown? They ask the question that I guess we all ask, don't we, at different times. God, don't you care? God, don't you see what's happening in my life? God, don't you see what's happening in the world? Don't you care, God? That's what they're asking. Everyone asks it, don't they? When you're going through pain, when you're going through storms, don't you care? You know, look around the world. Such a mess, isn't it? You look in Syria at the moment. Some of the stuff we were hearing this morning, what David was sharing. Such mess. Such brokenness in Syria. And may people asking a question, God, don't you care? Does God care? Does God understand? And the emphatic answer of the Bible, of Mark's gospel, of Jesus is yes, God does care. And not only does God care, but extraordinarily, God understands. You think, how can God understand? How can God understand what it is to be a person like me? Do you know how? He was one. He was one. And that's the extraordinary claim of Christianity. This is what makes Christianity different from any other religion in the world. God is not a distant God, but God has come in what's known as the incarnation. God has come to be with people as a man, as a person. You know, he knew what, why is Jesus asleep? He's tired. He's tired. He knew what it is to be a refugee as a young man, to have to flee his home. He knew what it is to laugh with friends. He knew what it is to cry. He knew what it is to stand at a graveside and weep. He was God, yes, but he was fully man, completely human. And here's the thing, as you pray to this Jesus, you're not praying to a God who doesn't understand. You're praying to a God who knows what it's like to go through the stuff that you're going through. Knows what it's like ultimately to die. The worst kind of death on a cross. It's extraordinary. Do you know, if you ever doubt, does God care? Just look at the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross of Jesus Christ, we see that God cares more than we could possibly imagine. God cares so much that he would die for you and I. He loves you so much. I mean, that's a lot of love, isn't it? I mean, how many of your friends would die for you? This God dies on a cross. Takes our sin, takes our pain, takes our punishment for all the mess that we see in the world is caused by us. And Jesus comes to take that mess and that sin on himself. Hebrews 4:15 says this, we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Jesus knows what it is to go through storms. In fact, he went through the biggest storm of all, the storm of God's wrath on the cross for our behalf. God clearly cares much more than we realize. But why the storm? What's the purpose of the storm if he cares so much? Well, the disciples get a glimpse here that following Jesus is going to be harder than they thought. But they also discover here the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. And I guess this is my second point. Trust the power of Jesus. You see, it is better than we dream, following Jesus. Without the storm, the disciples don't get to see what happens next. Yeah? And that's the thing. Without the storms in our lives, we don't get to see the miraculous provision. The miraculous way that God loves to work. Chaos, disaster, imminent. Put yourself in that boat again. You're about to die. It's like waking Jesus up. It's like, what's he going to do anyway? Jesus stands up in the boat. And what does he say? He says he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Let me encourage you to try this on Brian's seafront. Okay? When the storm is going. It doesn't work. I tell you what, try it in your bathtub. Yeah? You won't even make it work there. This is extraordinary. Jesus says, quiet, be still. And it's like the waves recognize his voice. And they just calm. Do you know, in a storm, when the wind drops, the waves don't. immediately. But here they drop. It's a miracle. Extraordinary miracle. And do you know what? I love it. I love this version of this story. You know this, don't you, David? This is the Jesus story. Who's got the Jesus story of the Bible? If you haven't, you should get it. Doesn't matter what age you are. This is fantastic theology. It is absolutely brilliant. And you're going to see why, okay? I guarantee you're going to want to buy this after I've read this story, okay? Are you ready? Story time. Everyone ready? Okay? It's called The Captain of the Storm. The sun was going down. The air was warm and still. "Let's go across the lake," Jesus said to his friends. Jesus had been helping people all day, and now he was tired. So they left the crowds at the shore and set out in a small fishing boat. Jesus climbed into the boat to take a nap. As soon as his head touched the pillow, he fell fast asleep. It was a beautiful evening. A gentle breeze rustled the sails. The friends were chatting happily as they headed out into the middle of the lake. Everything was perfect, just right for a nice, quiet sail. So I showed the pictures, didn't I? The pictures are pretty good as well. They were only about halfway across when out of nowhere, whirling winds swept across the lake, fierce and strong like a hurricane. A blinding flash of lightning lit up the sky. Thunder roared right overhead. The storm blew the water into towering waves that hurled the little boat up, 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 then sent it curdling, crashing back down, down, down. The fishing boat was blown and buffeted and tossed and turned back and forth and up and down and left and right and round and round. And in the middle of the storm, Jesus was sleeping. Now Jesus' friends had been fishermen all their lives. Been all their years fishing on this lake. They'd never once seen a storm like this one. No matter how hard they struggled with their ropes and sails, they couldn't control their boat. This storm was too big for them. I love this line. But the storm wasn't too big for Jesus. "Help!" they screamed. "Wake up, quick, Jesus." Jesus opened his eyes. "Rescue us, save us," they shrieked. "Don't you care? Don't you care?" Of course Jesus cared. This was the very reason he'd come, to rescue them and to save them. Jesus stood up, spoke to the storm. "Hush," he said. That's all. The strangest thing happened. The wind and the waves recognized Jesus' voice. They'd heard it before, of course. It was the same voice that made them in the very beginning. They listened to Jesus and they did what he said. Immediately the wind stopped. The water calmed down. It glittered innocently in the moonlight and lapped quietly against the side of the boat as if nothing had happened. The little boat bobbed gently up and down. There was a deep stillness and a great quiet all around. Then Jesus turned to his wind-torn friends. "Why were you scared?" he asked. "Did you forget who I am? Did you believe your fears instead of me?" Jesus' friends were quiet as the wind and the waves, and into their hearts came a different kind of storm. "What kind of man is this?" they asked themselves. "Even the wind and the waves obey him," they said, because they didn't understand. They didn't realize yet that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus' friends had been so afraid, they had only seen the big waves. They had forgotten that if Jesus was with them, they had nothing to be afraid of, no matter how small their boat or how big the storm. Amen. I think Dave Reese might get a big order. Have you recognized who Jesus is yet? The storm was too big for them, but it wasn't too big for Jesus. You know, this trouble, this storm, it kind of exposed them. It exposed their lack of faith, but it also did something else. And that's what sometimes storms do, don't they? They kind of reveal where we're at with God. But they also do something else. They grow our faith as we call out to God and God answers. He said to his disciples, verse 30, 40, "Why are you so afraid? You still have no faith." You know, sometimes people have a view of God as if maybe perhaps God cares. Maybe God cares, but maybe he's powerless. Maybe he can't do anything. No. No, God has more power than anything or anyone. More power than we can possibly imagine. He only needs to lift his voice and the earth melts, the psalmist says. God has power over everything, even death itself. Do you know the cross is amazing? It is wonderful, but there's something more wonderful than the cross. It's what happens 3 days later. The resurrection. Jesus died on a cross, but 3 days later, what happens? He comes back to life. New life, even death. The storm of death can't separate people from God. And he says to anyone, do you want this new life? Anyone want life? Anyone here want resurrection life? You can have it. If. If what? What's the deal with? How do you get resurrection life? Faith. Faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. Are you looking at your fears at the moment? Like the disciples, looking at the waves? Overwhelmed, overcome? Or are you looking to the one who has power over everything, power over all things, and putting your faith in him? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to give people an opportunity tonight to kind of replace fear with faith. Yeah? To say, maybe you're in a storm at the moment, say, God, please, here's my fear. I want faith. Faith is a gift from God. Maybe you're just starting out and you know, actually, you're just suddenly kind of clocking, actually, there's going to be some storms coming my way. I need faith for those storms. Faith in God. Even fear of God. Do you notice that? Fear. Holy fear of who they're before. Let's pray together. Do you have... Let's just bow our heads. And perhaps you have fears today. Maybe fears, school. Fears to do with family, work, relationships. Maybe you're fearful of the future. Fears over health. I just encourage you to bring those to Jesus. If you feel you need more faith tonight, I'm just going to encourage you just to do a simple thing. And it's just to put your hands out in front of you. I'm going to do this. Just put your hands out in front of you and I'm going to pray. If you feel like you need more faith to trust God in the storms. Lord God, you see so many of us with our hands out in front of us. Hands out to say, God, we need you. God, we want to receive faith. Lord, we want to trust that you're the King who is able, the God who is able, the one whose power is made perfect in weakness. Lord, come and bring faith, fresh faith to us, to me. Thank you, Lord, that you died for me. But Lord, thank you for the resurrection. Lord, that means we can have amazing confidence that one day you will calm every storm. One day you will put all things right, just with a word. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, for any here just facing a storm at the moment, Lord, draw near, I pray. Lord, would you be bigger in our hearts, bigger in our minds than any of the storms that we face? ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.